Open your Bibles, please, to the book of John. John, the 15th chapter, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1137. Beginning with the 7th verse, we'll read through verse 14. The text verse is the 12th verse. John chapter 15, verses 7 through 14, page 1137. And may we please stand for the reading of God's Word. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Let's pray. And Father, we of course owe thee a great debt. We owe our very lives, our very salvation and eternity to thee, because we have happy circumstances awaiting us one day in that place that you prepared for us. We owe thee so much more than what we can pay. Something we can do, and that's listen tonight. We can hear thee, we can hear thy word, thy preacher. Help us to do so, and in some small way repay you for that which you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wish I had some way tonight to force you to listen to what I'm going to say. If I could, I would. The tragedy about it is this, that some of the things I'm going to say tonight, every young person here in this house needs to hear, and every adult needs to hear, but especially every teenager and young person. And the sad thing about it is that those that need it oftentimes are misbehaving, and those that are starving to death for food are those that don't take time to eat. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, in love or love in. In love or love in. And I'm going to give you tonight something that will help you immeasurably. Our Heavenly Father, bless the message tonight and thy messenger and thy people as we share this blessed truth, this nerve-centered truth together. In Jesus' name, amen. We read a while ago this verse. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. God, look at me, God never gives you a commandment that you cannot keep. This is my commandment, but I don't love him anymore. Then you're disobeying the commandment of God that you can keep. But I don't love her anymore. Then you're disobeying and a commandment of God that you're able to keep. God would not command you that you love one another when it's not possible for you to love one another. I say again, God never gives us a commandment that we cannot keep. Now follow me carefully. In any successful relationship of life, there are two stages. Number one, in love. Number two, love in. Listen carefully. Listen carefully, boys. In love and love in. Now, every relationship has that. The marriage relationship has that period of time of in love and the time of love in. Now, they may be together, but usually are not. But every marriage has it, or should have it, in love, or love in. Every successful pastor and people relationship, every successful relationship that a member of a church has with his pastor has in it an in love period and then a love in period. Every student that goes to a college, or well, I say every student, most students have a period of in love and then a period of love in. Every pastor, or nearly every pastor, has both of those. Every successful pastor, he has a time when he is in love with his church, and then a time where there's love in as far as his church is concerned. Now, you can take this beyond human relationships. You can take this to the owner of a house and the house. A time when a person is in love with that house. And then a time when a person has love in concerning that house. You can take it even a vocation. The reason a lot of people change vocations is that they never do learn what I'm going to preach about tonight. The person that has a successful vocation and follows that vocation for a lifetime has a time of being in love with that vocation and a time of loving in as far as that vocation is concerned. You can have it concerning a bus route. It's anybody that has a successful bus route over the years has those two eras, the in-love era and then the love-in era. You can take the same thing concerning a Sunday school class, the in-love time and the love-in time. Now, I don't care what it is. If you have a successful relationship, it'll have both of those times. If you don't have both of those times, you'll not have a successful relationship. Or a successful life's work, if you please, or successful folks that keep bus routes 25 years, like some of these folks have. There's a time when they're in love with those bus routes, but there's a time when they're not in love with those bus routes. And that in love must be changed for a love in. A student comes to Howells Anderson College. And that student at first may be in love with Howells Anderson College, but he becomes used to it. It's a normal thing now. Then he has a love-in relationship, if you please, with Howells Anderson College. Now, follow me. Let me define what it means to be in love and what it means to have love in. In love is a wonderful thing. I'm not opposed to it. That's an interesting thing. Randy Erickson's going to get married in a few weeks, in a couple of weeks, and for weeks now since he's been courting, when I think he's calling me, instead of saying hello, I'll say, "Are you in love?" And he always calls me on Sunday night and Wednesday night before the service, usually on Sunday night, about 40 minutes before the evening question and answer time. And so I ask him, I pick up the phone, and I'll say, sometimes, you know, Kelly's Pool Hall, you want to set up a table, or Howells' Morgue, you kill him, we'll chill him, or something like that, you know. And but sometimes I'll just pick up the phone if I know it's Randy, and I'll say, "Are you in love?" So tonight, phone rang, same time Randy always calls. I picked it up, and I said, "Are you in love?" And Maxine Jeffers said, "You'll be the first to know if I ever am." So, I expect the whole world will know if she ever is. But anyway, being in love is a wonderful thing. It's a thrilling, I follow this, it is a thrilling and noble feeling, but it is a feeling. It is a thrilling and noble feeling, but it is a feeling. It is an intoxication. It is a deep attraction caused by the object. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it is a feeling. Now then, we say love in. What do we mean? It means a deep commitment maintained by the will until it becomes a habit. Let me say it again. A deep commitment maintained by the will until it becomes a habit. It is given by God and kept by character. Let me say it again. Being love in, having love in, is given by God and it's kept by character. Though it includes or may include in love, it can live without it. And sometimes you exchange in love for love in. And there are times when there may be a little overlapping. You may still be in love or you may still love in. But I promise you this, that 90% or maybe 100% of the young people, when they first start thinking about marriage, it's not love in, it's in love. I know what the guys say. They all say this. They come and say, over the house, I love her deeply. It's not the outer beauty that attracted me. It's the inner beauty. Well, why didn't you marry somebody with 425 pounds that has inner beauty? There's a lot more room in there to have a lot more inner beauty. Fellas, you don't impress me greatly when you say that. I know better. But that's rather normal, the in love period. Now let me say this, the in love and in love is not bad. It's not bad. It is the initial feeling between people who love each other, and it's not bad. But it is caused by the object. But love in is the love that God gives you, and it's caused by the lover. Now, if you don't transfer sometime in your life the in love for the love in, you're not going to make it. And I'm not just talking about marriage, though I am talking about marriage. I'm talking about a church. I'm talking about your feeling toward a pastor. I'm talking about a pastor's feeling toward his church. I'm talking about your feeling toward the house you live in. I'm talking about your feeling toward the college you attend. I mean, you can't live all your life just on in love. Yeah, you may someday, and of course some of you people that are 95 years old are going to say, well, I still am as much in love as the day I first met her. You're a big a liar as you were the day you first met her, too. You're not as much in love, but you have a deeper love. And listen, you don't love her because, like you did the first time you met her. I mean, but this kind of love, once it's transferred from in love to love in, this kind of love loves regardless of what happens to the object. You see, I mean, when she wears a size 8 dress, and then you love her when she waddles, when she walks, and wears a size 81 dress. You still love her. You see, when he wore a size 32 pant, and of course some of us still do, but that's around the leg right here, And when he had a big wavy head of hair, you were in love. Oh, you said, that's the best looking guy I ever saw in my life. Now, that in love, it will not always last. But once you trade that for love in, you love him when you stroke his bald head and think you're going bowling. You'll still love him. Now, let me make some observations, and I really want you to get what I'm going to say tonight. Number one is, you may cease to be in love. You may cease to be in love. I'm going to say this, most people do. And I'm not talking just about marriage. I'm talking about any kind of an infatuation you have. You come to this church and you say, boy, I love this church. And you hear me preach and you say, boy, I love to hear that man preach. And that's what you would call an in love situation. You come to a church because you love that church and because that church appeals to you and you're attracted by that church. But the truth is, the day is going to come when you don't have that same attraction. The day is going to come when you've heard the fellow priest, you know him pretty well, and you've seen the 150 baptisms a Sunday, and you've seen the 300 or 400 or 500 or 600 or 800 conversions every Sunday. It's going to be old hat to you. To some of you, get so backslidden, you even leave during the invitation time, and you don't much give a flip about whether anybody gets saved or not, long as you can get to the restaurant before everybody else does, or the nursery before everybody else does. I'm simply saying the time's going to come when you are no longer in love with that preacher. The time's going to come when you're no longer in love with that church. The time's going to come when you're no longer in love with that college. The time's going to come when you're no longer in love with that house that you love so had such you're in love with so much before. The time is going to come when you're no longer in love with that job that you have that thrilled you and excited you before. The time's going to come when you're no longer in love with that woman with whom you were so in love a long time ago. The time is going to come when you're no longer in love with that man. Now then, I said you may cease to be in love. But number two, now this is the most important thing I'm going to say. do not enter into a commitment while in love until you decide to keep it through both. Let me say it again. Do not enter into a commitment when in love until you have already decided to keep it through both. Don't join this church while you're in love with the church or in love with the preaching until you have decided that you're going to stay in this church when the preacher is no longer exciting to you. And the church is commonplace to you. The truth is, until you have decided that you are willing to settle down to a love in position, when the in love position is over, you should not enter into any commitment whatsoever. Young people, now you listen to me. Don't you walk down the aisle and get married. And don't you make a farce out of marriage until you have decided that you are going to stay with that girl or that young man while you're in love, and then while it's changed to the love in situation. Well, I just don't love him anymore. That's what you mean is I'm not in love anymore. But the truth is, you can't live always on feeling, and you don't know how you're going to feel 20 years from now. You don't know. So I'm saying that if you're marrying somebody because you're in love, that's not enough. That's determined by the object. But when you have enough character to say, I am in love with that woman, and I am going to marry her, and the day may come when I'm no longer in love, but I will still have love in my heart, by the way, which is far more deep and far more abiding than the in love situation. And until you can say that, don't you marry. One of these days, I am going to change the marriage vows. I am. I'm going to change them. And I'm going to make you say some stuff. And I'm going to make you sign a paper in blood. I'm a little tired of people been married a year or two. I'm not in love with him anymore. Well, love him. Well, I just can't love him. God said love him. This is my commandment, that you love one another. And God does not give a commandment that you cannot keep. Join a church and love it while you're in love with it. And then when you're no longer in love with it, it's still your church. You have a love for it, like an old shoe. The shoe's not shiny anymore. The shoe's not pretty anymore. But it sure does feel good. And you're not in love with that shoes anymore. But man alive, to throw them away is like cutting off an arm. Boy, me, at my age, son, give me a shoe I've worn for 5 years with my feet. But I'm simply saying that you have no right. Hear me carefully. You have no right to enter into any human relationship until you have decided to keep that relationship through the in-love stage and the love-in stage. Let's take this matter of a preacher. A preacher comes to a church all across America. A church calls him. They say the first year they love him enough to eat him. The second year they wish they had him. And the third year they do. They write me all over the country and say, Brother Hiles, can you recommend a pastor to us? We want somebody who's between 32 and 35, IQ of 175. We want to be a Billy Sunday type evangelist and a John Rice type Bible teacher. Good for the young people and so forth. I write back and say, I'm already taken. And boy, I tell you what, for a while, that church loves that preacher. They're in love with that preacher. But they find out he's human. They find out that he too makes mistakes. And up is that, don't say amen when I talk about making preacher making a mistake. There's a time for everything, the Bible says. But all of a sudden, they get upset. We'll go somewhere else. You see, you can only have a relationship as long as you're in love. You can only belong to a church as long as you're in love.
Or a preacher can only pastor a church as long as he's in love. Or you can only stay married as long as you're in love. Or you can only keep your house as long as you're in love. Or you can only teach your Sunday school class as long as you're in love with it. Or you can only keep your bus route as long as you're in love with it. Now look, when you decide to take a bus route, you decide to take it and keep it while you're in love, and then keep it later because of love in. When you take a Sunday school class, you're not always going to be in love with that class. There's going to be a day when the in-love period is going to be gone. Now, don't take that Sunday school class if you're just taking it as long as you're in love with it. You decide that you'll not take that class until you can say, I'm going to stick with this class to the in-love stage. And when the in-love stage is gone and the thrill is gone and the excitement's gone, I'm going to stick with it during the love-in stage. Folks, you don't have to change jobs every month. You have to change houses every month. I like what the Colstons have done. They were given our church a nice parsonage. And then we bought another parsonage that was probably $50,000 more value than theirs. And Brother John had first choice at it. And John Lane said, no, we'll keep the one we have. It's home to us. Now, they would have been more in love with a new house. But they had learned to love in. They had had love in their hearts for the old house. And we came up, we had another one. And a much nicer house than where they live. And they were offered that house again. And they said, we don't want that house. I feel sorry for people always wanting another house. I feel sorry for women can't go visit somebody else without wishing they had the house they have. I want the house I have. I mean, I'm simply saying that in every area of your life, listen, when you go to buy a house, you decide that you're going to keep that house while you're in love with it. And then when the faucet leaks and then it's no longer modern and more modern conveniences than other houses, you're going to still love that house. Same thing's true with, I said a while ago, with a husband and wife. Same thing's true with a pastor in a church. Same thing's true with a vocation and so forth. Look, they never dawn on you that every once in a while everybody gets dissatisfied with their vocation. They never dawn on you. Well, if you're not in love with it anymore, then keep at it because you there's love in you for it. But you say, I can't have it. God says you can. You see. Now, true truth is, you ought to thought about that before you got into it. Now, I'm saying that don't enter in. Now, hear me again. Young people, don't you get married. To stay married until you're no longer in love with her. And don't you get married till you say, I'm no longer in love with him. When you walk down the aisle, you say, by the grace of God, I am in love with that girl. That's the prettiest thing I ever saw in my life. I'd rather have her than anything, and I want her. But that's not real love. That's in love. Then the day comes, you say, but, when the day comes, when I don't have this in love, and you can't do it. Look, listen. I hate to even put it this way. But you used to couldn't sleep for thinking about her. Now you've been married 20 years, she's right there beside you, you go to sleep all night. I want to say this, though you love her more now than you did then, probably. Because you have love in. Love that's caused by God, that is given by God, and nurtured by duty and obedience. In the place of that love that was caused by the object. If love is caused by the object, and when the object changes, the love changes. Love is caused by internal, my Bible says, love never faileth. All right, number three. Being out of love doesn't entitle you to a change. I want to ask you men, how many of you are not in love anymore, but she may entitle you to a change if I ask you that. But the truth is, a lot of you men that love your wives devotedly are not in love anymore. Because you have something stronger. You have a love in now. It's caused by what you are, not what she is. Every time I think about this, think about when Mrs. Rice and Dr. Rice in the back seat of a car, I was in the front seat with the driver. I heard Mrs. Rice say, John R., do you love me? And he said, yes, I love you. What's her first name? Lois? Lois, I love you. And he said, I love you, Lois. And she said, why do you love me, John R.? And he said, because God told me to. She doesn't know I heard this, but she does now. She's in heaven. But she said, John R., that doesn't turn me on. He said, it may not, Lois, but it'll never turn me off. Tremendous truth. Tremendous truth. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I'm saying that you have no right. I want to say this over and over again. Folks come to the church. And as long as they're in love, everything's fine. But what you ought to do is you ought to say, I walk down the aisle, I'm going to join this church. Now, that's my preacher, this is my church, and that settles it. Two and two is four, sunrise east, sets in the west, Pope's a Catholic, and that settles it. When he's no longer to me, the striking, refreshing, new pastor, I'll love him because of what I am. And I'll follow him because of what I am. Being out of love doesn't entitle you to change churches. Doesn't entitle a preacher to leave a church. Doesn't entitle you to leave a college. You come to Hiles Anderson College and you say, well, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. But the day's going to come when you'll be used to it. And the day's going to come when you think every other college is like Hiles Anderson College, which isn't the truth. There's no other college like Hiles Anderson College. It isn't the truth. But it's all you see, and you see it over and over and over and over again till you're not in love with it anymore. Okay, then why don't you stay because you love us? Same thing's true about a vocation. I'm not talking about a call to preach now. I'm talking about what I call jackleg men. I'm not sure what that means. But men that never settle down. I mean, they're middle age and wanting to start over again. Giving no security to a wife, to the wife and the children. Now, I'm not talking about anybody here tonight. I have nobody in my mind right now, but I'm simply saying this. I'm saying that the honest, simple truth is, because I just don't like my job anymore. Okay, then get love in for your job. Number four, you cannot make thrills your regular diet. Got a letter 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry, about 2 months ago. Man wrote and said, I used to be employed in one of your ministries. He said, I got upset, mad, and I quit. He said, I made a mistake. I wish I'd never done it. You know why he got upset? He found out the chancellor wasn't perfect. He was no longer in love with the chancellor. No longer in love with the president. No longer in love with the institution here. Today, and you have no idea who this is, but today somebody told me about a man who quit here because he was upset and rebellious, was employed by ministries here. Today I heard these words from somebody he told these words to personally. He said, I wish I could live over the last 2 years. I wish I could live over the last 2 years. What the man did? When he was no longer in love, he left. If the fellow had settled down for life, and after the in love days were over, after you know Brother Hiles well, and you no longer want to stand in line for an hour to get his autograph, you can sign your Bible. And he's no longer a glamour boy. Now, I'll preach somewhere tomorrow night. And when I walk out, there'll be people there that have driven for miles and miles. Some folks drive as many as 3 miles to hear me preach. I've signed as many as 14 Bibles in one service. Man, folks flood to hear me. Last week, we had about 100 flood to hear me one morning. But I'm saying this. I'm saying we have people who come to our church that way. They hear me preach on the road. It's dangerous preaching on the road. But they hear me. I'm sorry. But I'm going to do it. It's my truck stop ministry. And they say, boy, we'd like to hear that guy all the time. And they come here and say, I didn't know anything like this existed. And they're right. Nothing like this exists. For which the world thanks God. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, let me see you in 10 years. Let me see you when you get excited because of what you are instead of what we are. Let me see you when you've seen these aisles filled over and over and over again. Let me see you when you have to stop and say to yourself, this is the church I used to idolize, and this is the church I used to dream I could visit someday, and now I'm here, I'm a part of this church, and your own thought life and your own thought processes make you realize what a privilege it is. That's what you call loving in rather than being in love. You see, I have a sermon I preach sometimes beside the road. But I have a sermon I preach sometimes across the country. It's called Yesterday's Fantasies versus Today's Realities. One of the most important truths in the world. You see, yesterday you fantasized about what today was going to be like. And you said to yourself, this is what tomorrow is going to be like when today was tomorrow. And yesterday was today. And you say, this is what today. But you see, no fantasies include negatives. Nobody ever says, oh boy, tomorrow my mother-in-law is going to come and live with me. Or tomorrow the commode's going to get stopped up. Nobody ever says that. But commodes do get stopped up and mother-in-laws do come to live, and I've had both and I prefer the stopped up commode. So what happens? What happened? This is the way tomorrow is going to be. And so when tomorrow becomes today, you take the reality and hang the reality beside yesterday's fantasy. And the reality cannot measure up to the fantasy. And so you're not happy. Here's the lady going to get married. Oh, she says, I just can't wait. He's my dream boat. He'll sink within a week after the wedding day. And she says, this is the way my marriage is going to be. Now, that's the fantasy. But reality is not always or not ever like the fantasy. Because in your fantasy, you don't think that his feet are going to stink at night and his breath's going to stink in the morning. You don't think about that. But it does happen. And every woman here that's married will attest to that fact. It does happen. And by the way, that's why you're not happily married. Because reality cannot measure up to what your fantasy was. Same thing's true about a pastor in a church. A church says, this is what we want in a pastor. And they think they find it. And then all of a sudden they put the reality up beside what their fantasy was. And the reality doesn't measure up to the fantasy. And they say, we better find another pastor. And the same thing's true of the pastor in a church. Pastor says, this is the kind of church I want. And a fellow came back the other day. Candidated at a church. He said, I wouldn't take that church at all. He said, that church is not like what I want. And I said, ever dawn on you that that's what you're supposed to go there for, is to make it like what you want. If what God didn't want the thing changed, he wouldn't need a pastor there. But I'm saying that the whole situation, all of our problems in life are built around the fact we plan tomorrow. Quit planning tomorrow and work today. Number five, you cannot promise to always feel a certain way. And in love is a feeling. And feelings change. The Bible never says, in love never faileth. It says, love never faileth. And God is love. Somebody said, love is a gift of God. No, love is God. God is love. Love is God. Consequently, feelings change, but love never changes. Number six, being in love. Now follow this. Being in love first moves us to commitment. Having love in enables us to keep that commitment. Settle down. Quit being antsy. Quit having itchy feet. Settle down. I don't feel like I used to feel. Good. You can feel better if you want to. And last, and this is important, this love in the place of in love, it just may be a little bit close to what our Savior meant when he talked about dying to self. I'm not sure about this, but at least it's worth thinking about. When the Savior talked about dying to self, was he talking about dying to what you get from them and living to what you give to them? You reckon that's what he was talking about? You reckon he was talking about the time to where your marriage is not successful because of what you get, but because of what you give? You reckon that's what dying to self is? You reckon maybe he's talking about when you come to a church and you get the place in the church where you're not as concerned about what you get as what you give? You reckon that may be it? You reckon it may be that friend that swept you off your feet, and that friend that you with whom you were in love because of what they are? You reckon when you find out that friend is not perfect and you're not no longer enchanted with what they are, you reckon that relationship continuing because of what you are may be what Jesus meant when he said, die to self? Do you reckon maybe what he meant was when you've been a pastor of the same church for almost 32 years and you rarely ever stop to think what the people can do for you, but you spend your whole life trying to figure out what you can do for them? You reckon maybe that's what the Savior meant when he said dying to self? You reckon maybe if you wouldn't die to yourself, you'd get along with your wife better? You reckon maybe if you could die to yourself, you'd get along with your husband better? You reckon maybe if you would die to yourself, you'd be happier in your church? I was pastor of my first little church. We had a guy, I won't tell you his name because I've mentioned his name before. He came out after every service and he said for about 10 weeks, he said these words, I didn't get nothing out of your sermon. I didn't get nothing out of your sermon. I got fed up. After 10 weeks, I said one day, he said, I didn't get nothing out of your sermon. I said, you didn't bring nothing to get it in. Now tell me something. Tell me something. Let me see here. The Colston, stand up. Lane, stand up. That's the woman you married? Is that the man you married? I see. Could I ask why? Now, how's that? Just cause. But now wait a minute. I'm not going to ask you embarrassing questions. I'll make a few statements. That woman, the reason you're staying with her now, she is what she always was, and more. As I said, I'm making no embarrassing statements at all. And I'll promise you this. I promise you, when you first start dating her, I promise you that you stayed awake at night and you thought about her and you wrote her a note every day. And in college, several times a day, right? How many notes have you written today? Yesterday? Did you write him notes in college? Sometimes one a day? More than one a day? How many notes have you written him today? You can be seated. Now, wait a minute. But I'll promise you one thing. I'll promise you one thing. That man and that woman love each other 1,000 times more than they did in college. You know why? Because when they got married, they were in love. But they also realized that day would come, possibly when they were no longer in love. But they didn't get married until in love was over. They got married through in love and love in. Like the house you hate to give up. And like the person that says, my house is the nicest house in the whole country. And I wouldn't trade my house for anybody else's house. And I wouldn't trade my church for anybody else's church. You know, I love pastoring. And I especially love pastoring the same people for almost a third of a century. I love that. I love it because I love to walk in teachers' meeting. And nobody says, "That's Dr. Jack Hyatt." Nobody says that. Truth is, nobody even looks at me. When I say, "May I have your attention, please?" I feel like Jeremiah on the streets of Jerusalem saying, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" I like that. But isn't it sad that most of us will wait until we see his face in the casket before we understand that we had love in? I love rhythm and habit. I know a preacher told me one time, he said, "I cannot," he said, "I've got to have new people every 3 years." Well, I do here. We change people about every 3 years here. Joe Boyd used to have a church called the Open Door Baptist Church. He changed it to the Revolving Door Baptist Church. But this preacher said, "I got to have new people every 3 years." I don't. Just give me the same people. Let's grow old together. And let's win together and let's lose together. And let's see good things in each other and let's see mistakes in each other. But we belong to each other. We've changed the "in love" for the "love in." Dying to what you get from them and living to what you give to them. And I want to tell you, young people who are just married, one of these days, pretty soon, you're going to look at that pretty little girl and say, "What's wrong with you? You don't act the same." She's going to say, "Nothing's wrong with me." "Well, you only kissed me 14 times at the door when I came in." She's going to say, "Well, I was cooking supper." The day's going to come when you're going to like the supper more than the kissing. Right, fellas? Hold it. No, I'm not minimizing that, but I'm simply saying, you're going to say to him, "Young ladies, pretty soon, what's wrong with you?" "Well, nothing." "Well, how come you're 10 seconds late?" "I've had supper on for 10 seconds. When you came in, you took your hat off before you hugged me. What's wrong?" Now, what you need to do is realize that you may stay in love for your whole married life. You may stay in love with the church as long as you're there. But the most of us are going to have to transfer in love for love in. I won't tell you what, it's a lot more cozy. It's a lot sweeter. It's peaceful. It offers more security. I still tingle when I walk out to preach here behind this pulpit. I still love it. But the honest, simple truth is, I no longer walk out and say, "I'm scared to death." I'm not scared. I feel as much at home right here behind this pulpit as you feel, you ladies, in your kitchen. I'm not one shred nervous. I never get nervous. I never get intimidated. Why? This is home to me. This is home. I'm no more intimidated and nervous here when I walk up here than I would be in my own living room. This is my home. I'm in love with this church, but I also have love in for this church. I love this church for what it is, but if this church is not always what it ought to be, I still have a love for the church. And when there is a hiatus of in love, you'll be amazed how you can keep going if there's love in. Oh, my soul, what an answer to life. Brother Hiles, I wish I hadn't left the church. Oh, Brother Hiles, I wish I hadn't quit my Sunday school class. Oh, Brother Hiles, could I have my job back? I hear that over and over again. Can I have my job back? I made a mistake. You know why you made the mistake? Because you make your decisions on the basis of in love and not the basis of love in. Our Heavenly Father,